Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless
of danger we're living today.
God's love and mercy, they're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned off the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not His mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. On those who so carelessly forgotten their God. The God of this evil age has blinded the mind today. Of people who walk their own way according to God's own word, denying the things He's done, of sending His only Son, accepting the creeds of man, rejecting the word of God. This is the evening time, it's later than you think, the bride is preparing now. For her Lord to me, all things are ready now. Come by thy ear, he that hath an ear to hear, the evening time is here. The darkness throughout the land, this world just can't understand. A prophet has walked this land, according to the word to God. If you would be saved today, then follow the words He gave, accepting the word of God, for this is the evening time. This is the evening time, it's later than you think, the bride is preparing now for her Lord to meet. All things are ready now. Come by thy ear, he that hath an ear to hear, the evening time is here. The darkness throughout the land, this world just can't understand. A prophet has walked this land, proclaiming. leading the way to God. If you would be saved today, then follow the words he gave, accepting the word of God, for this is the evening time. This is the evening time. It's later than you think. The bride is preparing now for her Lord to meet. All things are ready now, so come by my ear. Feet and heavenly ear to ear, the evening time is here. Perilous times will surely come, the great apostle Paul declared. Men loving pleasure more than God, apostasy is everywhere. And if you look around, you'll see God-fearing men are hard to find. And though it breaks the heart in me, I know by the signs it's almost time. It's almost time to say goodbye to a world that's vexed heart of mine. Trials faced on every hand, brought on by the curse of sin. I feel it won't be very long till Jesus comes to claim his own. We must keep this thought in mind. By his word, it's almost time. It's almost time to say goodbye to a world that's vexed his heart of mine. Trials faced on every hand, brought on by the curse of sin. I feel it won't be very long till Jesus comes to claim his own. We must keep this thought in mind. By the word, it's almost time. It's almost time to say goodbye to a world that's vexed his heart of mine. Trials faced on every hand, brought on by the curse of sin. I feel it won't be very long till Jesus comes to claim his own. We must keep this thought in mind. By his word, it's almost time. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. My hope is in the Lord from this time out and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. I stand in awe within the presence of the Lord, and whom the wisdom of the ages lie, and whom the raging of the seas subside. The living sacrifice, the only source of life. My hope is in the Lord from this time out and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. His tender mercy come with every rising sun to meet the sinner in his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness. And those who trust in him will find their hearts at rest. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forever. Tender mercy come with every rising sun to meet the sinner in his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness. and those who trust in him will find their hearts at rest. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He had loosed his faithful light of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. You know what our scriptures? Covet its sight, and not as his base its sight. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll start in verse 14. For everything made evident is light, and for this reason it says, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, taking advantage of every opportunity, because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but be wise, by understanding that what the Lord's will is. Sometimes you gotta use a different translation. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the hour we're living in. There's got to take advantage of every minute that you have, because that time is not coming back again. What you're doing today, you'll never throughout eternity be able to replace that time. That time just keeps on going. The island flight to Bangitzeit just keeps going and never comes back. So you and I, we're trying to set an example. We're trying to do what the Lord wants us to do for the day and hour we're living in. And here, in these closing days of time, there's really only one message. It's just an invitation of marriage supper of the Lamb, the coming of the Lord. We're doing everything we know to do to warn people, because we have to set an example and a standard. And the only thing that you can do in the hour we're now living in is go and tell. Do exactly what the Bible says. To whoever that heareth, let him go and tell. The only thing you can do that has any value, you can go out there, you can build an outright colony, or do this, that, and the other, or even go build a hospital or anything like that. But it's useless. The timing is out. There's no more time for that. It's running out of time, and it's his coveted sight and it's his basic sight. By the time that God, you'll never get it back. That's what the Lord's been dealing with me last day or two. That the time that you now have, you'll never get it back, and it's no use pushing it off. There's only one message that you can have, And that's the message that we're putting out here on a day-to-day basis. And if you want to do the Lord's will, and it's perfect will, all you got to do is go tell people, because there is nothing else out there. Yeah, you can go out there and try. You and me, if there was anything outside of this here truth, we would have found it, and that's where we would be sitting at, because we connect everything together with the Scripture, and it all began back. We can take you back in February 28, 1963. That opens up the chapter, that opens up the channel for where we are in time. We're right now in the week of Daniel, and it all hinges on the midnight cry. At midnight, there was a cry. It's the Scripture. That's the Scripture the Lord put burned in my heart by divine revelation. I was just groping around in the dark and this way and that way, but it wasn't until I got the revelation at midnight there was a cry on February 28, 1963. God came down with a shout. And to prove to you, like I've been saying it over and over again, if you want to do something that has any value, you go back and you jump in your computer and you find out what happened back in 1963 down in Arizona. All you got to do is the mystery cloud, 1963. And it'll tell you the whole layout, what actually happened when those angels came down and met Brother Branham. And that gave you and I the exact revelation of where we are in time. Anybody can calculate, and then you take February 28, 1963, and it's the middle of Laodicea. We're living in the church age of Laodicea, and the church age of Laodicea began in 1906, and you just subtract these two numbers, and you come to 57, and then you add 57 on to 1964, and you come to 2021, and to be exactly right on the dot is October 15, 2021. That's when you go back and you do the Yom Kippur thing. That's exactly when the Yom Kippur was on, when Jesus Christ is going back to the Jews and the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. We cut it right to the day, and there's nothing else out there that's worth telling people, because it's just a waste of time. You're just going to deceive them. All you're going to do is beat your gums together. It has absolutely no value, no rhyme or no reason, because it's all vain. And the only thing that matters to know the hour you're living in, that's why we keep saying Jesus wept over Jerusalem, because they were completely clueless of the hour they were living in. And the same thing in the days of Noah, they got lost, they went in that flood because the Bible says they knew not until Noah. Noah went into the ark and the flood came and took them all away. The same thing with Lot. And the same thing it says is going to happen here in these closing days of time. They wouldn't know the hour you're living in. But see, you and I, by the grace of God, we're the only two people out of 8 billion people on planet Earth that knows, has a revelation on that midnight cry in Apollon. February 28, 1963. That's why it's so important in the hour we're now living in, to make sure that you count every day is it doesn't go past you unnoticed, and you're doing out there doing things that have absolutely no eternal value whatsoever. And we're just trying to set a standard, trying to set an example. That's where we are in time. That's why it's so important to make sure the time you're now living in, that you don't waste away like that guy over here from Sunnyside. He's 2 weeks off from dying, and he's lamenting and cried the blues because he hadn't done nothing for Jesus. Today, when you hear his voice, you gotta make sure that you yield to him. It's no use kicking the can down the road, because there's no more much time to kick the can down the road with. We're living exactly just a few short years from the coming of the Lord. And then between that time, there's a rapture. We don't know when that rapture will be, because the Lord has somehow hid it from everybody, but we do know when the week of Daniel starts, because it's all starts with that midnight cry. If you don't have that, you're just like I was before I got to Revelation. I was wondering and I was wishing and I was hoping, but I didn't have no biblical concrete evidence when it was. It wasn't until the Lord gave us the midnight cry, and then we established to know exactly where we are in time. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord. We just pray for grace to continue on this journey here and make use of the time that we're now living in, because it's many people, throughout millions of people, it goes unnoticed. They go out from day to day, and they're not even aware of what you're doing or what you have done in the hour of time we're now living in. We just pray, Lord, you give that increase. We just pray you'll open up the hearts of the people that they begin to see in the hour that we're now living in, Lord. We just pray once again you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That's the story of the hour that we're now living in. There is only one message. You could go out there and do whatever you want. I was watching that thing the other day when they had rededicating America, and there was no inspiration there whatsoever. It's a good idea to rededicate America, and they were out there repenting. They even fell on their face, but they don't even know what they need to repent of. The only thing that you can repent of here in the church age of Laodicea is because he rejected the prophet. Mm-hmm. God took a lot of pain. It took a lot of effort to send us that prophet, that Malachi 4 prophet. Behold, I'll send you Elisha the prophet before the great, before the dreadful day of the Lord comes. And he sent that brother Branham, and he preached for 40 years. And that's the only thing you need to talk about here in the church, age of Laodicea. Anything other than that is just taking out to hell and death. That's why I keep saying about these Andreas Ehrenpreises and these Jakobuters. They were just sent in by the devil to divert the pitch. And back in the days of Martin Luther, there was only one message, to just to live by faith. And then that message was valid until John Wesley came on the scene. And then when John Wesley came on the scene, there was only one message, holy living. Now God expects the Church of the Living God, the Christians, to begin to live a holy life. And then he preached until his message went till 1906, and then Brother Branham came along and brought the message of Brother Branham. Water baptism in Jesus' name. Take us back to the apostolic faith of the Father. Anything outside of that is just a waste of time. We're telling you the thing that has value. We're telling you the thing that matter in the hour we're living in. Anything else, like I say, you can go build a commune. You can go to church every day if you want, but it doesn't mean it. These preachers up there, a lot of them are nothing but pedophiles. And these sermons that they preach, they were written by the devil. I know they could be 100% the truth, but it's what they don't tell you. They're not going to tell you what you and I are telling people out here, because it's the only thing that's worth telling people. It's the only thing that has any value. That's why I say, when I was watching that thing the other day on Sunday about rededicating America and all people, they were out there doing their speech, but there's only one thing that you need to repent of in the hour that we're now living in, and that is to tell people to repent because they rejected the prophet. The churches of America rejected the prophet, and if you take a grab, that's when America began to sink into oblivion, into the garbage that's now rampant in America, because they rejected the prophet, and all the prophet had a message, get back to the word, get back to water baptism in Jesus' name, and they missed it. We're now living in the week of Daniel. That hour is past where water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was valid, because Satan has hijacked it back in 325 A.D. He made a decree, from now on we're gonna dismantle Acts 2:38, and we'll bring in our own baptism, the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, by pouring and sprinkling, and that's how it's been for the last 2,000 years. And here we're just trying to put something out there that's valid. And like I say, water baptism in Jesus' name is over. There's no point now going out there to get baptized, because it has no value. It's a season that's over. The truth is marching on. And now the only thing that's left is Matthew 22, that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the only thing that's worth talking about. That's what you and I are adjusting all our energy and all our effort to tell people message for your day, for the hour we're now living in, because the truth has marched on and it ain't stopping. That's why I say buy the time, because the days are evil, and you need to get on board. You tell everybody that you know. Tell your family. Tell your neighbors. Tell everybody, because there's nothing else worth telling. But see, they got to get over that fear factor. And the devil has a fear factor. He puts fear on people. And they literally shake when they hear about us, and they know what they have to do, but they're afraid of what about the consequences. Well, we're not afraid of the devil, because he can't do a thing unless the Lord allows him to. And in the meantime, we're about the Lord's business. We're telling people where it's at for the day and hour that we are now living in. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm.
There are many parables between Israel and Judah and the Gentile Christian world. There's many parables that you will find the similarities of what Israel did to God when he brought them out of Egypt and out of bondage, and he set them on into a land, the land of Canaan, the land that he promised to Abraham, and he gave them all that land to them. And then it goes on to say here in Isaiah, he said, Isaiah 4, the sinful nation is as good as dead, the people weighed down by evil deeds. They are offsprings who do wrong, children who do wicked things. They have abandoned the Lord and rejected the Holy One of Israel. They are alienated from him. Mm-hmm. So they became alienated from God in their wicked ways. And now if you would take it to the Gentile people, what God did for the Gentiles, just imagine taking a people that have had no understanding, no knowledge of God, and he took them and presented to them the salvation message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the devil, he doesn't sleep, but it's the responsibility of people to stay awake and not let the deception of the enemy overtake. And that's what happened. They went into the dark ages. But God, rich in mercy, he brought them out of the dark ages, out of Roman Catholicism, out of this pagan Roman Catholicism. And he had Martin Luther with a message that just shall live by faith, and then he ignited that whole European world there with the just shall live by faith, and he brought that was the Reformation movement of what God did, and you can see the movement and everything, how God blessed the Gentile in the 2,000 years of the Grace Age. They had more given to them than to the Jews. The Jews were blinded and they were left back in the old covenant. And here the Gentiles had this glorious understanding of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were given such a great gift. And especially America, when you will look at America, was given such a great gift when God poured out the gifts of the Holy Spirit at Azusa Street, and then he had a prophet here that came with a message to take America up to higher heights and deeper depths in God. God wanted to give America so much, and in giving America, the whole world would have access to that. But because America, those preachers like Oral Roberts and these men of renown, Jimmy Swaggart, Billy Graham, and A.A. Allen, these people all know about Brother Branham, but they choose to go after the material wealth of Laodicea instead of what God had a prophet. And when you will look at that rededication of America, and they want a revival, they repent, but you know, if they don't know what to repent of, how can they appease the heart of God? How can they touch His heart? And you know, you can repent for all kinds of things. You can repent of going to the bar. You can repent of immorality. But Brother Branham always said, the sin is unbelief. See, they did not believe what God did for them in America. And when you will see that rededication of America, it kind of reminded me a little of what God told the Israelites. And He said to them in Isaiah 1, verse 11, "Of what importance to me are your many sacrifices?" So what importance to me are your many events of worship that you've put up? Says the Lord, "I am stuffed with burnt sacrifices of rams and the fat from steers, the blood of bulls, lambs, goats, I do not want. When you enter my presence, do you actually think I want these animals trampling on my courtyards? Do not bring any more meaningless offerings. I consider your incense detestable. You observe new moon, festivals, Sabbaths, and convocations, but I cannot tolerate sin-stained celebrations. I hate your new moon festivals and assemblies. They are a burden that I am tired of carrying. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I look the other way. When you offer your many prayers, I do not listen because your hands are covered with blood. Wash, cleanse yourself, remove your sinful deeds from my sight. Stop sinning." What God was saying is, sure, he implemented that offering of sacrifices, but they were just doing it. And in one place in the Bible, it says, when you were making your sacrifices, you actually sacrificed unto these foreign gods, he said to them. And how can you look at America, what they did in the 60s, the 50s and the 60s, and how can you imagine if God is pleased with these things? Because you have to really find out and touch the heart of God of what went wrong in America. What did they do? They rejected His prophet. They rejected His message to go back to the Word of God. And now he has to look at this. When you have to find out what will really touch God's heart is acknowledging that you sinned against Him in the 50s and the 60s. You know?
Yeah, exactly. You reap the wind. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. That's what's going on, America. For you and I, everything is so plain and simple. In the 60s, they rejected the prophet, and he had to give the devil the key, go and destroy America, because they're rejecting me, they're rejecting the truth. And in order for America to blossom and to go on from there, they're going to have to go back and admit that, and repent of the fact of rejecting the prophet. And it looks like it's almost past. They're beyond reasoning. Their heart is so hard that they bring in this charismatic and this Roman Catholicism and all these priests they got down there preaching and praying and everything. It's just one big mess. But it's not going to be until that civil war is going to be over. That's going to be the only thing that will appease the Lord. They're going to have to go through that fire. They're going to have to go through a civil war. No matter how hard they try to avoid it, it's just the only thing that's left, because that's the vision that George Washington had. He saw three woes coming over America, and that third woe is just right, hanging right over their heads. And they can pray all they want. If they cannot get the revelation of the fact that they rejected the prophet back in the 60s, everything else is in vain, because that is the only thing that the Lord is looking at. That's why the things that you and I say, they're so detrimental for the hour we're living in. Nothing else matters. It's the only thing, there's only one message here in these closing days of time. An exit route out of this hell that's coming. The day of the Lord, the tribulation is just hanging over our heads. Actually, it's already started in some countries, and it's going to continue all over the world. And then the Eventually, as time goes on, the day of the Lord comes, and then the Holy Spirit gets taken out, and all hell breaks loose here on planet Earth. That's why we're putting all our effort, all our resources going in to try to warn the people and trying to wake up the people, but it seems to fall on deaf ears. People, they hear it, but they don't do nothing about it. They're afraid of that letter from the Lord. They're afraid of these demonic tugs. That's all they are. They're agents of Satan. That's all it's ever been. Ever since Martin Luther came on the scene and came out with the just to live by faith, here comes the Peter Riedemanns of this world. Here comes the Jakob Hutters and drag the people right back into first-class communism. That colony life, that community life, it's all first-class communism because the Bible is all those that believe. Well, you could be living for the devil right in these communes and you get away with it. But back in the day, all those that believe, only the believers, they lived all things common. And anything outside of that, the devil has managed to form a system where you don't have to be a believer. All you do is put your good things together, and then they figure that's the way to heaven. Then Lenin and all these communists, they cut a hold of it, and they begin to form that country over in Russia. First-class communism, and they put a wall up. You can't get out even if you wanted to. That's just, that's how do I call it? First-class communism, but they don't have a wall. They don't need it. They got their only wall they have is fear-mongering people. Mm-hmm. If you don't toe the line, they'll fear-monger you. But first they came out with a very religious program. Oh, the only way you can prove that you love your brother is by living in community-style living. And that's how they got the people brainwashed. And here we're coming along. We're opening up the cavity. We're opening up their eyes. We're telling people exactly the way what's been going on since the 1500, because in 1520 Martin Luther came on the scene, and 1530 in comes these tugs. They call it. They think we're crazy when we tell them that Jakob Hutter was an agent of Satan. But you gotta look at the fruits of the thing. What's the fruit of Jakob Hutter? What's the fruit of that? How do I take? Just another J.K. number two. Just another dictator. What's the fruit of these preachers? Is it called? They're first class dictators. Their fruit is no good. It's a tree that bears not good fruit, because it's a good tree will bear good fruit. And you and I, we saw that, and we dropped it like a hot potato, and we went and searched, and we found out here in these closing days, God sent a prophet, and then that's been our song, and then forever and a day. That's the only thing that we're talking about, because it's the only thing that has any value that God will look at, and he's going to ignite it as time goes on. You're going to see it. Anything else outside of that is has absolutely no value whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
I've said that before, when we look back in history, we can see what the people of Noah in that generation did. They rejected what Noah had to say, and they went in and were destroyed by the flood. That whole world was destroyed by the flood, except Noah and his family. And we can now look back in history and see what transpired and why these things came about. Just like Israel, we can see why the destruction of Jerusalem happened. Because of they rejected Jesus. The Jews rejected who God sent, his only begotten Son, and then they went into that destruction of Jerusalem. And every time God judged Israel, it was because of their sinful ways, and they did not acknowledge God. And you can see when the history books will be written of the last 2,000 years of the Grace Age, the things that in the channel of God, what God has done, you will see those things in history will stand out. The rest, the people who rejected what God had for their day and hour, will be considered the same way as the generation in that rejected the message of Noah and the message of what Jesus had for the Jews, and they went into judgment. The same way with the Gentiles here in this hour. See, we know what happened here. But a lot of people are blinded because of decisions of what those religious leaders did. in America. The religious leaders were those Oral Roberts, A. Allen, Perry L. Green, whatever their names are. They all know about Brother Brenham. They will not be found guiltless of what they did. They brought the whole America and the generation following into a state that America is in now, in apostasy. They brought America into apostasy by rejecting what God had. And then that generation in the future, the generation will look back and they will see exactly what happened in America. It will no longer be covered with deception. And you will see now how this charismatic movement arose up in America after they rejected the prophet. And that's what you really saw there at that rededication of America, is there's all kinds of spirits there. There's Roman Catholicism, there's the Protestant, there's anything mixed together. That's a whole mixture of what you saw, and I cannot see how God can look down on that and be pleased with, because knowing who God is in his principles and his statutes and all his ordinances and his characteristics in the Old Testament and who he is, I cannot see that at all, because God sent a prophet, and whoever does not acknowledge that and accept that is going to be led astray, and they're going to be deceived, and the future generation will look at it and will see a clear picture of what really happened in America.
That's exactly what happened in the early 90s with the Hutterites. They were talking a lot about the Hutterites. They rejected the prophet. They rejected what I had to tell them. Mm-hmm. I wasn't just some fly by night. I had to pay the price.
That's right.
For standing up for truth. And I'm not just somebody out here beating his gums together. I paid a high price so that I was going to be able to tell them the truth. And the minute I got the hold of this end time message that God sent the prophet, I went back and told him about it. The Lord set it up. I was coming back on the way back from up there, and the Lord said, let me know, Sam, I'm going to set it up that you're going to be in their council, and you're going to have to tell you what you found out there. And exactly what I did. They rejected it, and they told me, you got till sundown to get it. And don't think for 1 minute they're not going to pay the consequences. Mm-hmm. Just like America, just like Israel, just like that, the Hutterites are going to have to pay the consequences for rejecting the prophet. It's not going to be any different. If God did not spare the Jewish race, and if God did not spare America, how do these people think they're going to spare them? They've been living in luxury for the last 250 years here in America, or however long they've been here. They've been taking in all the goodness of God, and now God brought a message to them, and what do? They reject them, and then they put us in the outs, and they treated us just like they did back in the Old Testament, back in the days of Jeremiah, back in the days of Isaiah. In fact, like I keep saying, if the law of the land would allow, they'd have burned us at the stake 10 times over already. They're doing everything they possibly can to try to shut us down, but we just keep on going, and God, rich in mercy, he's given us a platform and a website, and then now it's for whosoever will let him come and partake of the waters of life, really. And it's the only message you have. Anything outside of that, you can go and work yourself to your bone, work your bones, self right them down to the bone. It ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. It's all in vain if you don't tell people about the things that we're telling them about the day and hour we're living. It's all in vain. It'll have no purpose whatsoever, because the truth is marching on. This is how the truth of the day, nothing else outside of this here truth matters, because it'll have no value. It'll be taken. All it does is going to take out people out to hell and death. And then you're going to find out as time goes on, the things that we're saying, they're 100% accurate. Once that shaking starts, the shaking of all things, at the end of it all, the only thing that will remain is the truth of the Word of God. Just that simple.
Yeah, it says in Romans 11, granted, they were broken off, the Jews, like the branch was broken off, and the Gentiles were grafted in. And it says here, they were broken off because of their unbelief. See, the same thing, because of unbelief. Jesus came and they did not believe. And then they were broken off, and then the Gentiles were grafted in. And it says, but you stand by faith. Do not be ignorant, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, perhaps he will not spare you. So how will he spare America when they did the same thing? Because of unbelief, they rejected God's message, and then it has to walk in a certain direction. Then, just like when the Jewish people rejected Jesus, it went into the destruction of Jerusalem. The same way here in America, there is gonna be a consequence to that. Rejecting the prophet, and you will see it will go right into George Washington's third peril. America doesn't talk about that third peril. I think they're scared of it, but you know, if you're realistic, it's just going to have to happen because of rejecting of the prophet and what God had. Because of unbelief, they're just gonna go into that civil war.
God can't stop it. It's going to happen. The same with the Hutterites. Same thing's going to happen with them. They're sitting duck when judgment's come. They're nothing to these terrorists to go in and just burn down their buildings and rape their children. And, oh, man, you can't even imagine. It's coming because it's back in the Matthew 22. Once you reject the truth, once you reject the message, once you reject that invitation, that's all that's left here now. It's the invitation, a marriage supper of the Lamb. When you reject that, you can read it for yourself. That's why I read it. That's why we're talking about it. Because it's just looming on the horizon. And then it says when you reject that, he's going to send in his armies. And who are his armies? His armies are not angels. They're wicked people. His armies, and they'll go in and they'll kill these murderers, they'll kill these preachers that have kept this truth from their people, and then he's going to burn down their cities, he's going to burn down their colonies, their barns and everything. It's just that simple. It's they're sitting ducks for God's judgment to hit them. And we're just by the grace of God, we're just telling them that because that's the only thing we know to tell. That's the only thing that we're talking about. The invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's what's on right now. And if you reject that, I tell you, you're going to have to suffer the consequences. That's why it's so important to buy the time, because the days are evil, and you got to take advantage of every minute that you have to do what's right, to do what's right before the Lord. And the only thing and is hour that you could do is consume yourself with this here truth and tell your children about it. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever heareth, let him say come. Because it's the only thing that we're talking about. Anything else is all just going to go out in destruction. Just that simple. We're just trying to tell people the truth of the matter, and there's nothing else to talk about. Just that simple. Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we can see the situation all around the world, Lord, where people have failed to walk in your ways, and we can see that there's wars and rumors of wars, and there's destruction everywhere, and people have forgotten their God, just like the song says, and people have forgotten who you are, Lord, and what you require of man, Lord. But we just want to put it back into its perspective, what happened to Israel, and the same way what happened to the Gentile age, Lord. They did the very same thing that Israel did when Jesus walked this land. America did the very same thing in the world when you sent a prophet to take them back to the Word of God. Because of unbelief, they rejected it, Lord. And and when times in the future, they will look back and see what all happened and why it happened, Lord. So we just want to bring it into reality of the consequences of rejecting what you have for the hour that we're living in. So So we just want to let people know that, and we give you thanks, Lord, for everything you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.